Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
There was this lady, she went to visit together with a group of people to a kind of a holy place. The place was known for having like very good healing water that flows down the stream. Everybody was told, oh, now we are here, why don't we let's take a sip of the water and drink it for our good health, etc. So everybody scoop up the water that flow from the stream, and then they put in their mouth, they drink and swallow it. But this lady, she scooped the water and put in her mouth. The thought occurred to her that, yikes, wait, this water is not even cold, it only may have bacteria and I might get ill from it. So immediately she spat out the water. And then not long after that, when she went back home, she started having severe stomach cramps. Until she couldn't tolerate it anymore, she went to see a doctor. It was kind of bowel obstruction, and she had a surgery done. But after the surgery, part of her intestines was being removed. After the surgery was being done, it got better for a short while before the pain came back again, and she was scheduled for another surgery. So happened, my mom's friend opened this kind of shop that sells Taoist prayer items, so recommended her to go and consult with the local medium. And when she went to see the medium, I mean, she was desperate because the second surgery, you know, imagine like after the operation done the first time, it didn't get better, and then the pain still come back, and the doctor say, oh, how come it happened again, and she scheduled for a second surgery. So she was desperate, she went to see the medium, and the medium told her, oh, you went to a place and you spit out some water, right? Then she said, yeah, I don't know, it's up to you to believe or not. So happened that she was told that when she spit on the water, she happened to be spitting on a local deity, or they call Dato Kong, who happened to be having his lunch. She couldn't see the being, she spat on him. This Dato Kong was quite cheesed off, so came and disturbed her. So she was told that the rectification is to take some roast pork meat, go and go back to the place, say sorry and pay respect, pray to the Dato Kong or the local deity there, and then the problem will be gone. She did that, and the problem just went off. She didn't need the second surgery again. The doctors were also a bit surprised. So this was her first case.
Welcome, Montreal. It is a mad world out there. It is a snowstorm in the middle of April. I don't agree.
I think Mother Nature's feeling pretty sadistic right now.
Yeah.
She might be angry.
She has good reason to be angry, actually. So.
Yeah, and we all do. I mean, have we all gone mad is the theme.
Yeah, madness, insanity,
has
just regular crazy.
Has the world gone mad?
Has the world gone mad?
I think so. First, I read an article about it in The Atlantic, which was just talking about, like, in the U.S. specifically, like, how just people going berserk in public has really increased, like, on planes, you know, trying to, like, barge into the cockpit or, like, I don't know, just people are going crazy for small things like wearing a mask is driving a lot of people nuts. And then in Canada, there was this weird thing where the Senate was like, their email inboxes had gotten full. They'd gotten all these voice messages. They'd gotten handwritten letters from people who were concerned about this bill, which was proposing just to study, like just to study minimum income. But they were all fearful that this would mean they would lose like their pension, all the things that are all the social programs that are already in place. And partly I think it was because some very right-wing Canadian person from the People's Party tweeted
mm-hmm.
some kind of conspiracy theory mm-hmm. on that part. But people were worried that this meant, like, if you weren't vaccinated, you wouldn't get any money anymore. That this was possibly, like, some kind of transnational plot to make us all into cyborgs. And,
yeah.
like, they were flooded with this kind of
Yeah, it's
hysteria.
Too bad. Yeah.
About, like,
income.
Basic income, which would be great
yeah.
and would solve a lot of problems, including mental health problems.
Yeah.
Right?
If it was high enough, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my rant to start off the show.
Okay.
I was like, the world really has gone mad.
It has. It has. As we're, like, approaching the end times, and instead of people, like, coming together, they're kind of, like, getting into this revelation style, just, like, end of the world madness, which
yeah.
is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we're going to get into that, sonically speaking, here on ESL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Intimate madness. Public madness.
Yeah.
Ghost
and also,
possession.
Also, yes, ghost possession. We're going to have some exorcisms.
Yes, exorcisms, demons, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are going to talk to us about some of the different therapies. We're going to put exorcism in that very broad umbrella term
yeah.
of therapy.
Because
yeah.
I didn't realize this, but priests, we're going to hear from a priest who was trained by the Vatican to do exorcisms.
Yeah, and that's like a thing that they
it's
do.
It's a real thing. Yeah,
that's
he has
a real
qualification.
Yeah. Also, just to throw a quote out at you, I was looking up quotes about craziness and madness and insanity. So Philip K. Dick, science fiction writer, says, "It is sometimes an appropriate response to reality to go insane."
Oh, for sure.
Very true.
When reality is insane.
Yeah, which
yeah.
it is, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of crazy shit happening.
Yeah.
And we're all responding.
Yeah.
As humans will.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, what else are we going to hear?
All kinds of music.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will just give you the permission to just, if you are, like, going crazy, to go crazy, you know? And if
crazy,
you are crazy and feeling ashamed about it,
to go nuts,
to be like, it's okay.
To go bonkers.
And there is help if you want help.
To go batty.
To go batty, yeah.
There is help out there for you, batty
there
people.
Is help. Yeah.
And I include
don't be
myself
ashamed.
In the demented, and
yeah.
the daft, and the gaga, and the
yeah.
loony.
No mental health stigma here. Don't be ashamed. It's normal.
Yeah.
You are having
At
a normal.
At this point, it would be a normal response to an abnormal time.
Yes.
Whereby there are 13 points in the human body, and if the acupuncture needles is systematically administered to these 13 points, it will actually drive out whatever ghost and spirit that is possessing the person. In other words, it is like a form of exorcism. He shared an interesting story about the 13 acupuncture points. What happened was that he was in a hospital assisting a healer who is doing a treatment to a patient. Now this patient, he basically fell down on a creek of water. It was a shallow creek and he had terrible injuries and he was in a lot of pain. There are standard protocols to treat such patients, but regardless of what the hospital tried to treat the patient with, he didn't get better. So the healer suspected that it could be due to spiritual cause. And he decided to administer the 13 ghost point acupuncture on this patient. As he began and he was doing point by point, when he reached the fourth or the fifth point, he heard a very stern female voice telling him, "This is none of your business. Back off." He was taken aback and then he stopped the treatment. And then he asked the man, his patient, "Have you done anything wrong?" It was a woman who now come back as a vengeful spirit. The man got a shock. And what he did is that he actually went back to his hometown and went straight to the grave of a woman and cried and apologized. Later, it was found out that the story behind this was, this man was born in a small village, and in the village, he knew a girl. So he was going out with a girl. Later, he decided to seek a better life in the city. He promised the girl that he will come back and marry her once he settled in the city. When he go to city, of course, life was very different from the village, and he forgotten about his promise. The girl was very heartbroken and angry, and she took her own life by drowning. Now, Master Poussin say in his talk that it is not easy for a person to commit suicide by drowning because there is an instinctive urge to survive. And automatically, when a person tries to go into the water and drown themselves, and once their lungs are filled with water, or by reflex, they will want to rise up to get some air. But that feeling of anger, the disappointment in that woman must be that great that she was able to control that instinctive urge to go up, go for air, and she drowned. After she passed away, she became a water ghost. She was able to travel through the medium of water and ended up affecting the man when he happened to be at the creek of a river at another city. So eventually, after going back and apologizing and crying at the grave and filled with remorse, his condition was very much improved.
Ed was passionate, I mean passionate, about helping people because Ed lived in a haunted house. He lived in a haunted house in Bridgeport, Connecticut from age 5 to age 12. So he said to me, when I got out of the Navy, I said, I'm going to find out if other people had the same experiences that I did when I lived in that house.
From the time that I was about 7 years old, I remember seeing lights around people. I realized that I was communicating. My Catholic faith is very, very important to me and still is today. And that helped me to help others.
Ed, he was an artist. He went to art school for a couple years after the Navy. And he used to read about haunted houses. And he would drive to these places with Lorraine. And he would take a sketch pad and pencil with him. And he'd pull up in front of the house. He'd sketch the house, take about 30 minutes. And then he'd hand the sketch to Lorraine. And he'd say, Lorraine, do me a favor. Go up to the house, knock on the door. They open the door and say, my husband sketched this nice sketch of your home. He wants you to have it. And he said, maybe he'll let us in and we can talk about the haunting that they have. And that's how they started.
Life. I work from 9 to 5. Hey, hell, I pay the price. All I want is to be loved.
you give recognition when you go into a place where haunting phenomena is going on, and you give it recognition, you give it energy, and then it can do whatever it wants. Sometimes, for me, I say, I'll make the sign of the cross, name of Jesus Christ, go away and go back to where you're coming from when I get really overpowered.
I've had to actually bring Lorraine Warren to a case where a paranormal investigator thought it was a fun hobby, decided to go out and do EVP sessions, take photographs, try and make contact with the spirit world. She made contact, all right. A demon actually followed her home. We helped cleanse her. We helped cleanse the house. We tried to spiritually protect them. Lorraine gave her specific directions. Don't pursue paranormal investigation. You're too open for this. That's why this thing followed you home.
I didn't have any fears. Now, that's been that way all my life. You know, I always feel that I'm protected. So that must mean a lot to me being able to still do this kind of research work, because I really I'm not so scared. I'm not frightened of it. Because if you are, you would attract energy to you that really could be harmful.
There are many things in this building here which have been involved in extremely dangerous occult activities. To touch one of these items would be the opposite of touching something holy, something blessed.
I'm a nut. I'm a nut. My life don't ever get in a rut. The head on my shoulders is sort of loose, and I ain't got sense God gave a goose. Lord, I ain't crazy, but I'm a nut. Is it wetter underwater if you're there when it rains? Is it shorter to New York than it is by plane? Between myself and I wonder who's the dumber. Is it hotter down south than it is in the summer? I'm a nut, I'm a nut. My life don't ever get in a rut. The head on my shoulders is sort of loose, and I ain't got sense God gave a goose. Lord, I ain't crazy, but I'm a nut. I drove my Cadillac to Vegas to satisfy my lust. Wheel and deal and left old Vegas on a Greyhound bus. You didn't set the woods on fire while I was there, but remember, only forest fires prevent bears. I'm a nut, I'm a nut. My life don't ever get in a rut. The head on my shoulders is sort of loose, and I ain't got sense God gave a goose. Lord, I ain't crazy, but I'm a nut. The poverty war will be over when I begin to fight. If it took a dime to go around the world, I couldn't get out of sight. I don't mind to take the girls out if they don't mind to go Dutch. Makes me feel like $1 million, and I bet I ain't worth half that much. I'm a nut, I'm a nut. My life don't ever get in a rut. The head on my shoulders is sort of loose, and I ain't got sense God gave a goose. Lord, I ain't crazy, but I'm a nut.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed, you laughed, and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes. And they're coming to take me away. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Huh? Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful.
Ça fera bientôt 3 années qu'elle est internée. Oui, internée avec les fous, avec les fous. C'est à cause de si elle est là seulement, voilà, on ne la croit pas, mais un jour ça va éclater, la vérité. Alors comme elle en a assez de pleurer, de toutes ses forces, elle se met à crier. Mais puisque je vous dis que je suis pas folle, vous m'entendez? Je suis pas folle, je suis pas folle, je suis pas folle. Et à chaque fois il y a les blouses blanches, encore et toujours les blouses blanches. Elles lui disent non, vous n'êtes pas folle, pas folle, pas folle. Les blouses blanches, elle aussi, elle en a eu une blouse blanche. Ah non, c'était une robe, petite robe blanche, une petite robe blanche avec des fleurs. Il y avait du soleil tout autour des fleurs, et dans sa main, elle, il y avait une main. Une belle main avec des doigts qui chantaient. Encore les blouses blanches, ça fera bientôt 8 années qu'elle est internée, oui, internée avec les fous, avec les fous. Un grand trait sur les 8 années, tout comme si rien ne s'était passé. Une nuit, elle ira leur voler leurs 8 années. Tiens, v'là la main comme le jour de la robe blanche. Mais pourquoi qu'elle a mis toutes ses blouses blanches? Non, puisque je vous dis que je suis pas folle, vous m'entendez? Je suis pas folle, je suis pas folle, je suis pas folle. Vous voyez bien que c'était vrai. Moi, je savais qu'elle reviendrait. La main, la belle main qui riait. On s'aimera toujours, mon amour, toujours, mon amour, toujours.
Ha 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 Yeah, now ever since I can remember, I've been living blue collar, searching for something, trying to make a few dollars. I was never too polished and never on the flawless. Them shorties used to tell me I needed a new stylist. When birthdays came, instead of selling me a promise, my mom was dead honest, like, yo, we ain't got it, better be a road scholar. Try to make something out of the school of the hood, that be your ghetto alma mater. It's a long, drawn out saga, like the Godfather coming up this hard and made a nigga rock solid. Now I'll be the top shotter, heart of a rock waller, the boss to learn to move cautious as outsider. I don't take shit for granted. I'm strong, single-handed, and I ain't quick to panic, but I can't live the planet. My one and only concern is that y'all understand it. If it's understood, then good. I'm taking this advantage. I've been waiting for them cameras. The stage is mine. I'm coming up, but I still got a ways to climb. It ain't a reason I should fall off or change my grind. I'll be alright as long as I heed the danger signs. Come on, I just wanna fly. Can't get away. This type of shit happens every day. This ain't funny, so don't you dare laugh. You don't gotta
straight and narrow as the flight of a sparrow, stalking through the jungle, have you parrot as a pharaoh with a bad toe, seat up in a beat up Camaro. How you supposed to shoot for the moon with one arrow and no bow? Don't blow your hibachi, look like a Ferrari, except it's only a Mirage. Troop it out, but choose to go the stupid route. Cafferoon and a half a moon and a putrid mouth. Keep the name out, heck, check the repertoire. Right there where it say who kept wrecked and kept it raw. Accepted in the name of Allah, a leopard's paw. Swept it and stepped it like Zakar and Nekabar. Ask questions later, villain, the invader in a mask for the paper. Spent the cake on a light rice bowl. Wouldn't waste the weight on a date off the lice pole. Dice roll, it's like, you know, magic. Hat trick, writing flows that make little Mikey go spastic. It's so drastic, pass the cash quick. Don't get your monkey ass kicked for no plastic. Take it all back in a tall pack, no stack, Bozak. Hit him if you need some more crack, go pro black. That's the price for a tatted bad advice. At least he got fat 20s and he mad nice.
Your doom.
Salvation, acknowledge the justice and goodness of God the Father.
A voice comes out of the living room.
Get out.
Who by his righteous judgment has damaged your pride and envy.
His back starts to arch and he's like,
depart from the servant of God, whom the Lord has made in his own image.
So he picks up the book and that baby voice again. He goes, I read this book.
Many will dismiss the idea of the devil taking possession of a person. But the priest in this tiny town near the border of Ohio and Indiana is now known all over the world for his work around just that. He never even wanted to become an exorcist and says what he's seen isn't far off the movies.
When I saw a person levitate during an exorcism during my training in Rome, you know, I think I was sitting there with my jaw wide open.
In the face of the enemy.
The exorcist is in charge of the scene, and nobody should interject or do anything. When I was appointed in 05, I became one of only about 12 officially appointed exorcists in the United States. So during my time in Rome, I sat in on 40 exorcisms and was able to learn firsthand again the church's ministry to those that up against the demonic. As soon as I started praying, she lunged at me like a wild dog. She's like,
oh my gosh.
I think I jumped back 5 feet, and this voice that came out of her mouth said, well, who's he? He has no power over us. And I went over and laid my hands on her head and started praying, and then the demon started laughing uncontrollably at me and says, you can't get rid of us. We've been here too long, and you're not strong enough. Usually the manifestation is always, you can't get rid of us. We've been here too long. Again, it's that sense of wanting to instill fear.
Lampert uses various rituals, including insufflation, a breathing prayer, which with one woman roused the devil in a frightening way.
The chair flew back and hit the side of the altar, the person flew up out of the chair, and you heard a shriek, scream. I mean, I just breathed, and you would have thought that they were hit with a hurricane force wind. The chair just went back like that. And then the person, you hear this shriek as they come up out of the chair and then fall on the floor.
Father Lampert tells me he's receiving about 1,800 calls, emails, and letters every year from people all over the world who believe they're possessed. More than half of those, he says, come from people who aren't even Catholic or religious at all.
When I was first appointed, I would get maybe 3 or 4 calls a week. Now I get like 35 calls a week.
This massive spike in requests, he thinks, is due to religion diminishing around the world.
Because faith is in decline. When people experience something in their lives that they can't really figure out, then it leads them to believe that maybe it's something evil or demonic.
But it's not as simple as believing you're possessed and calling an exorcist. The Catholic Church has strict protocols and processes that priests must follow before deeming an exorcism to be appropriate.
Exorcists are trained to be skeptics. I should be the last person to believe that a person is possessed. Every other possible explanation needs to be exhausted before I make that determination. The very first step of the protocol would be for the person to have some type of psychiatric evaluation.
Those wanting help then have to answer a series of questions covering their psychological history and whether they've had addiction issues. They're also asked if they have had any experience or history of engaging in the occult, witchcraft, black magic, magicians, fortune tellers, crystals, wizards, or game boards. Other questions include, have you ever tried to communicate with spirits, demons, or the devil itself? And do you truly want to be free of the evil influences you believe are presently affecting you? Will you do what must be done?
Please give me some serotonin. I just need some serotonin. Could you spare some serotonin? I'm stressed.
I witnessed eyes rolled in the back of the head. I've seen eyes turn completely black, where there's just nothing there but like total darkness, foaming at the mouth.
The Catholic Church doesn't allow filming of exorcisms to protect the identity of those afflicted, but others not sanctioned by the church have been.
Exorcisms don't take place on a dead-end street at midnight in an abandoned house during a thunderstorm.
So you'd normally do an exorcism.
Father Lampert always executes the exorcism in a sacred space, like the church itself.
So I would have the book, I would have a crucifix, would come in, and then immediately begin doing the prayer of the church.
He'll then command the demon to depart.
By his righteous judgment has damned your pride and envy.
At that point in the exorcism, if you see that disturbing behavior, what do you do to counteract that?
I stay focused on the prayer of the church, and I watch and observe everything that's taking place. And if certain parts of the ritual seem to be more effective than others, I just take a mental note of that.
The nutritionist said I should eat root vegetables. Said if I could get down 13 turnips a day, I would be grounded, rooted. Said my head would not keep flying away to where the darkness lives. The psychic told me my heart carries too much weight. Said for $20, she'd tell me what to do. I handed the 20. She said, stop worrying, darling. You will find a good man soon. The first psychotherapist said I should spend 3 hours a day sitting in a dark closet with my eyes closed and my ears plugged. I tried it once but couldn't stop thinking about how gay it was to be sitting in the closet. The yogi told me to stretch everything but the truth, said to focus on the out-breath, said everyone finds happiness if they can care more about what they give than what they get. The pharmacist said Klonopin, Lamictal, lithium, Xanax. The doctor said an antipsychotic might help me forget what the trauma said. The trauma said, don't write this poem. Nobody wants to hear you cry about the grief inside your bones. But my bones said, Tyler Clemente dove into the Hudson River convinced he was entirely alone. My bones said, write the poem to the lamplight, considering the riverbed, to the chandelier of your faith hanging by a thread, to every day you could not get out of bed, to the bullseye of your wrist, to anyone who has ever wanted to die. I have been told sometimes the most healing thing we can do is remind ourselves over and over and over, other people feel this too, the tomorrow that has come and gone, and it has not gotten better. When you are half finished writing that letter to your mother that says, I swear to God I tried, but when I thought I'd hit bottom, it started hitting back. There is no bruise like the bruise loneliness kicks into the spine. So let me tell you, I know there were days it looks like the whole world is dancing in the streets where you break down like the doors of their looted buildings. You are not alone and wondering who will be convicted of the crime of insisting you keep loading your grief into the chamber of your shame. You are not weak just because your heart feels so heavy. I have never met a heavy heart that wasn't a phone booth with a red cape inside. Some people will never understand the kind of superpower it takes for some people to just walk outside. Some days my hot smile looks like a gutter on a falling house, but my hands are always holding tight to the ripcord of believing a life can be rich like the soil, can make food of decay turn wound into highway. Pick me up in that truck with the bumper sticker that says it is no measure of good health to be well adjusted to a sick society. I have never trusted anyone with the pulled back bow of my spine the way I trust the ones who come undone at the throat, screaming for their pulse to find the fight to pound. Four nights before Tyler Clemente jumped from the George Washington Bridge, I was sitting in a hotel room in my own town, calculating exactly what I had to swallow to keep a bottle of sleeping pills down. What I know about living is the pain is never just ours. Every time I hurt, I know the wound is an echo, so I keep listening for the moment when the grief becomes a window, when I can see what I couldn't see before through the glass of my most battered dream. I watched a dandelion lose its mind in the wind, and when it did, it scattered 1,000 seeds. So the next time I tell you how easily I come out of my skin, don't try to put me back in. Just say, here we are, together at the window, aching for it to all get better, but knowing there is a chance our hearts may have only just skinned their knees, knowing there is a chance the worst day might still be coming. Let me say right now for the record, I am still gonna be here, asking this world to dance, even if it keeps stepping on my holy feet. You stay here with me, okay? You stay here with me, raising your bite against the bitter dark, your bright longing, your brilliant fists of loss. Friend, if the only thing we have to gain in staying is each other, my God, that is plenty. My God, that is enough. My God, that is so, so much for the light to give. Each of us at each other's backs, whispering over and over and over, live, live, live.
I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine.
Who can relate?
Woo! I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I don't wanna be alive. I don't wanna be alive. I just wanna die today. I just wanna die. Other shit I'm talking about, they think they know it. I've been praying for somebody to save me. No one's heroic in my life, don't even matter. I know it, I know it, I know I'm hurting deep down, but can't show it. I never had a place to call my own. I never had a home. Ain't nobody calling my phone. Where you been, where you at, what's on your mind? They say every life precious, but nobody care about mine. I've been on the low,
I've been taking my time.
I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine.
Who can relate?
Woo! I've been on the low,
I've been taking my time.
I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. You don't gotta die today. You don't gotta die. I want you to be alive. I want you.
without a little night. I'm just trying to set a little light. It can be hard, it could be so hard, but you gotta live right now. You got everything to give right now. I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I finally wanna be alive.
We just heard Logic.
1-800-273-8255. And that's Logic featuring Alicia Cara and Khalid.
And this song, actually, they've done scientific papers about it. And they think it's responsible for saving hundreds of people's lives. Because almost 10,000 extra people called up the suicide hotline after this song was put out. And they also saw a dip in the number of suicides.
So the power of music.
The power of music and the power of calling somebody.
Yes.
Just if you're feeling bad, just call somebody and talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. It really helps.
Says a future therapist. Oh, Kathy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's true. And you don't even have to call a therapist. Just call somebody.
Yeah.
A friend.
Yeah, even. A friend. And if you don't have friends, a lot of people don't have friends. Don't be embarrassed. Just call a helpline.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah, exactly. They're waiting up right now.
Yeah. Maybe we'll plop a number in the mix.
Yeah, we should. Okay. We can't just leave the people hanging there. Okay. What's the number?
Yeah.
And
but let's talk about what inspired the show from your point of view, because we had a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading things about the mad, mad world, and you were?
I was reading a book by Lindsay Wong called The Woo Woo, How I Survived Ghost Possession, Hockey, Ice Hockey, and My Crazy Chinese-Canadian Family, which is a great book. I recommend reading it. And she talks about her life growing up, suffering some really terrible things at the hands of her family. But basically what's going on is the members of her family refuse to get any kind of psychiatric treatment, any kind of anything, because they are quite convinced that it's ghosts that are causing them to see things, have delusions, have hallucinations. Yeah. Mm.
And that's actually not uncommon. There are many traditions, mm-hmm, in different cultures where when people have what we call mental disorders like schizophrenia or depression or psychosis, people explain it by saying that they are actually just like connecting with the spiritual world, that mm-hmm, they have a special sensitivity, mm-hmm, to things that some of us can't see or feel, right?
Yeah. And also sometimes people do have that connection and then it gets mislabeled by, mm-hmm, Western medicine as schizophrenia, because there's a documented a lot of Cambodian refugees in the 1970s. A lot of them were being presenting at the hospital kind of in psychiatric distress and being possessed by the spirits of their ancestors. And of course, it had been a big genocide in Cambodia. And that was just their very rational reaction to what they'd experienced.
Yeah.
And some of them, quite a few of them, got put on psychiatric medications, but it wasn't that. Like, it really was. It wasn't helpful to them because they really were not experiencing kinds of like Western diagnoses of, you know, bipolar or schizophrenia. They were really literally going through some kind of grieving process that involved them connecting with their ancestors in some really distressing ways. But yeah, so there's all kind. The world out there is very confusing.
That's the thing. And also even today, like, so many kids are being diagnosed with all kinds of things that they immediately need medication for.
Yeah.
Attention deficit disorder, that kind of stuff. And it's like, how is it possible that so many children need to be medicated?
You know, yeah.
Is there perhaps something wrong with the environments we live in?
Yeah. Is our environment distracting us in some way? Is there some new thing in the past 20 years that could be distracting us that we're less able to focus than we used to be?
Yeah. So, and also the history of just like mental health and diagnoses is very, very traumatic to read about.
Yeah.
We used to drill holes in people's brains.
Yeah.
We used to do all kinds of things to heal them. Yeah. So, and they used to burn people.
Oh,
like,
God.
You know,
yeah.
Women who were experiencing maybe like epileptic seizures were branded witches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things or even like if they just knew anything about medicine.
Right.
If they knew about herbs, they're like, oh, put this herb
this
on your burn.
That's rising.
Yeah. And then let's not forget about all the many other cultures where people who are seeing things the rest of us can't see, they're honored or they like, it's really societal. Mm-hmm. Whatever behavior you're having either fits in or doesn't fit into your society. So,
yeah. So again, Easy Sonic Living just wants to give you like an easy sonic perspective. Just whatever you're feeling or thinking or seeing or hearing, it's okay.
It's okay. Just love yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one thing too I learned is that in Western society, people who are hearing voices, they more frequently are negative, angry voices. Mm. But in a lot of other societies, people who are hearing voices, the voices aren't so negative. They're like more loving. They're, you know, protecting them. Maybe they're telling them funny things. They're
Where
laughing.
Where are those other societies located? So looking up plane tickets and making travel plans.
Yeah, well, basically everywhere but the West, because the Western world is like very specific.
Yeah, but we still have some good music, and we will be hearing some more of that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though our society's fucked.
Yeah.
We find ways to cope. And,
music.
You know, making art, making music, tapping into that creative genius that is also perhaps extremely crazy.
Yeah.
love's got another girl. He might be fucking her right now. I don't have an apartment. Thought if I was smart, I'd make it far, but I'm still at the start. Guess I'm contagious. It'd be safest if you ran. Fuck, that's what they all just end up doing in the end. Take my car and paint it black. Take my arm, break it in half. Say something, do it soon. It's too quiet in this room. I need noise. I need the buzz of a sub. Need the crack of a whip. Need some blood in the cup. I need noise. I need the buzz of a sub. Need the crack of a whip. Need some blood in the cup. I need blood in the cup. I need blood in the cut.
Hey,
let back up with the boy I love. Cried on the streets of San Francisco. Okay, so my friends can't see my heart in the blender. And lately, I've been killing all my time. Reading through your messages, my favorite way to die. Take my head and kick it in. Break some bread for all my sins. Say a word, do it soon. It's too quiet in this room. I need noise. I need the buzz of a sub. Need the crack of a whip. Need some blood in the cup. I need noise. I need the buzz of a sub.
Still listening to Easy Sonic Living. This is CKUT 90.3 FM. We're kind of wrapping up our hour of excellent programming.
Yeah, thanks for sticking it out with us.
Yeah, and we've been exploring madness, the idea of madness, and you know, what is madness? It is the quality or state of being mad, which could be a mental illness, right? It could also just be behaving in a foolish or dangerous way, right? It could be being ecstatic or enthusiastic. It could be having some kind of intense anger. It can be so many things. Crazy is kind of one of those big words. It has so many meanings.
Yeah, I remember once getting into an argument with someone who was staying at my house, actually. She was staying there. And then she went to the Anarchist Book Fair, which I love, by the way. But then when she came back, she was full of all this, like, I use the word crazy in a sentence, like, oh, I'm feeling so crazy, or something was crazy. And she went on off this big rant about how I shouldn't use that word. Only people who had been diagnosed with certain mental illnesses should use that word. The word crazy is derogatory. And I was like, usually I'm pretty chill, as you know.
And you're also pretty politically correct in your language, like in a good way. Like you're very carefully, carefully choose your words so as not to be offensive in any way. Right?
Yeah. And normally so. I would be more like receptive to someone telling me not to use a certain word. But this time I just was like, no. You cannot take the word crazy away from me.
Yeah.
Because I am crazy. There are things that are crazy. And I refuse to bow down and say this word is off limits. Because it's like major part of the human condition is being crazy.
Yeah.
Even if you have not received a diagnosis of
any kind.
That's
right.
You know?
You reminded me that actually one time there was this person who was a so-called psychic who spotted me. He was like, I'm going to give you a reading. But as he started to like read my energies or whatever, or do my cards, he was like, "You're crazy."
Okay.
He was like, "I like you." I was like, "Okay,
that's
clearly
good.
I've met a kindred spirit."
Wonderful.
This random psychic off the street.
Yeah.
So there you go. Just
yeah,
to put
so
it
there.
All in perspective.
So don't take the crazy out of us.
Don't take the crazy out of me.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We need it.
And hopefully you can stay crazy for another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Till
and
we
you
see
know,
you again.
Just like the world is really intense right now.
Yeah.
But we have the inner resources. We have.
Yes.
We can tap into our own inner crazy.
Yes.
To cope.
Yeah, definitely.
That. Or you could just call us or call the hotline. In fact, you can call Tel Ed, which is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline, and they answer in both English and French for the greater Montreal region, and the number there is 514-935-1101. 514-935-1101. In case right now just happens to be a time when you could feel better. Their mission is to improve well-being just by listening. So give them a call.
Yo, pass me the L.
Thank you.